Hi, this is John DeLancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Cinema Geeks. I am one of your Cinema Geeks, Optimus Solo, and joining me on today's episode are fellow Cinema Geeks, Arcani Mandy.
Hey, dudes.
Hey, dudette.
What's
up? Mr. Movie Revolt, Dan, hello.
Hey, I wasn't sure where you're going with that one.
Nor was I. Mr. Fridley Sen, hello.
Hi.
And along with us today, we have a special guest, I guess the honorary cinema geek, at least for today, Mr. DJ Valentine, hello.
DJ Valentine here, courtside, with my finger pressed against my earpiece for dramatic effect. The excitement down at the, here in the court is high, with a few films ready to break the bracket, some favorites expecting to steamroll the competition. Back up to you, Optimus.
I love it. All right, we're getting in the feeling already. As he somewhat alluded to, it is March Madness time, and that means we're going to try to get in on the fun. A lot of different people do different types of brackets and tournaments, some sports-related, some not-so-sports-related, and we're going to go movie related, obviously. So today, in lieu of the fact that we didn't actually do a review for Black Panther, since everybody else in the world was doing one, we'll be able to give you our thoughts on Black Panther, along with a whole March Madness bracket that is pitting all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe against each other. Dan, what do you think about this heading into this process?
I don't know. It should be interesting. Like, you know, I try to not let personal bias, but I feel like that's impossible. So, we'll see how it goes.
And of course, it only makes sense that we're talking Marvel Cinematic Universe and other geek-like things here, superhero, etc., to bring DJ on. DJ, do you have an early favorite, or is there a dark horse amongst the group?
I think that when we pick the number one, or when I guess I reveal what my number one movie is, you're going to be surprised. It's not going to be like, oh, of course he's picked that one. You're not going to know what it is.
Right. And the other thing that nobody knows here on the record, except I guess for myself, is who's going to be going against who. We're going to break it up here, see how long it takes us. But we're probably going to do one half of the bracket today, and then we'll come back next week with, in true March Madness fashion, you tease them, and then you have to like wait a week for some more games. So that's how we're going to do it. So we're only going to be revealing the left side of the bracket today. And what I did in order to seed all of the films is we took a combination of their Metacritic and Rotten Tomatoes score, found an average score there, and then seeded them accordingly. So that's kind of how we went through our 1 through, well, I know it should be 1 through 16, but guess what, guys? There's been 18 Marvel Cinematic movies so far, so we need to have a play-in game on each side of the bracket just to get into the tournament. So just to get in. So we're going to start.
Sports!
Yeah, exactly. So just to get in, we're going to start with that play-in matchup. So this is for the honor of being the number 16 seed. And if you have ever watched the actual March Madness tournament, that means like the honor of getting beaten by like 80 points in the first round of the tournament. So our two films that we're going to be pitting against each other for this playing game is going to be the lowest possible seed. Number 18, if you take that combination score, would be... Does anybody know what the lowest film would be? I want to see if you guys have a guess. Matt, do you have a guess as to what the lowest seed would be if you combine the Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic scores of all the MCU?
Oh, I don't even look at those because I know I'm going to go see them, but I can tell you which one's the worst one, and that's Iron Man 2.
Okay, so he's guessing on Iron Man 2 being in this playing game. Dan, do you have any ideas of who would score the lowest when you do that?
Howard the Duck? I'm guessing Thor the Dark World.
That is correct. Thor the Dark World would come out at the lowest combined score with a score of 60 if you average their Rotten Tomatoes Metacritic score. So it's going to be Thor the Dark World against Incredible Hulk, which would come out as a combined 64. So we have the second film in the MCU, the Incredible Hulk, going against Thor the Dark World. Amanda, Let's start with you. Do you have a favorite? Which film do you prefer between those two?
I'm going to say Dark World. I enjoyed that maybe more than most people from what I'm hearing. I really liked it. The only thing I didn't like was the whole, you know, relationship with Thor and Jane. Like, I don't give a shit about their relationship whatsoever in any of these movies, so it made no sense. But I did like it, and I thought the dark elves or whatever they are super creepy, and I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I did forget to mention that another bonus reason for why DJ is with us today is because if you are a fan of the Cinema Geeks, you probably know that there's four of us. So that means that there is the option when we're doing something like this that we would have a tie. So in the case that the actual proper Cinema Geeks tie, DJ, you are going to break that tie with your all-important
unlimited
vote.
Power!
But that does not mean we're not going to let you comment and try to sway us one way or the other before that happens. So yeah. Let's go to you next. Who should people be voting for between the Dark World and Hulk?
Here's the thing about the Incredible Hulk. For the first, I don't want to say, 45 minutes, it's awesome until he gets to New York, and then it gets into this CGI fest. And the CGI on the Hulk, I like the Hulk in the soda factory more because you don't see him. The CGI wasn't done yet, and when you see the compare the CGI from the Incredible Hulk to the CGI that the Hulk has in Avengers or every other incarnation of him, it just looks like a video game cutscene. Especially that whole end scene with Abomination, I didn't care because Abomination's CGI looks horrible. Thor: The Dark World, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of, and this may be a spoiler alert, I'm not a big fan of the first Thor movie, and I like Thor: The Dark World more, mainly because of the stuff that Loki's doing in this movie and the scene on the boat and the breakout scene. I think there's more moments in Thor: The Dark World that are good than Incredible Hulk. Again, the Incredible Hulk, and even though Edward Norton's a big giant pain in the ass, he's very good as Bruce Banner. And the first, everything in Brazil, the chase scene, definitely everything with Eli Roth and when they're chasing him, the implementation of the super soldier serum, all that stuff is good. And then they get to New York, and then it's CGI in Harlem. I prefer them talking about it in Avengers than seeing it. I'm not a big fan of Marvel.
All right. Matt, is that persuading you one way or the other, or which film do you prefer?
Actually, he's making some good arguments because, like, it's been a while since I've seen The Incredible Hulk. Probably around the time The Avengers came out, I rewatched them all. And in my mind, that movie was great. Like surprisingly good. Like, I couldn't imagine a better Hulk movie at the time, for sure. I mean, we're in a whole new world of comic book movies now, though. I panned Thor 2. I would say Thor 2 is my second least favorite of the cinematic universe. Like, my vote's still got to go to the Hulk one. I loved how, like, contained it was. That's one of the things I love about the cinematic universe is you get an Avengers where it's this, you know, cosmic massive thing invading the Earth, and then you have, like, a homecoming where it's like, yeah, no, I'm just fighting my girlfriend's dad. and like, the Hulk usually needs to be like a city-smashing guy, but I feel like that movie, they kept it real low-key and very small, and like, it was entertaining, and I was very upset when they got rid of Edward Norton because I thought he did an amazing job as Bruce Banner.
Speaking of low-key, Dan, do you think that sways anything towards Thor: The Dark World, or are you with Matt that Hulk might be the better film?
It's tough because, what they do well are very different, I think, in a sense. I think I like both of these more than most people. I really liked the Hulk completely. What I love about the Hulk was how I was able to kind of combine all the different elements of that character, like bringing in things from the television series, bringing in even stuff for what worked for the Ang Lee Hulk, and establishing itself as well from the comics and being in the MCU Hulk. It was also the first time we got like any type of crossover, you know, in the sense of having Tony Stark show up and having the fact that Stark tech was used. I love the one action sequence where we get at the college where, like, you just see this. It is kind of like a video game, but I think it's fine where, like, it just increases, and, you know, first you're using like sound to go after him, then they're using soldiers and helicopters, and just keeps going and going, and just the ingenuity of how they use Hulk's powers. And I don't mind that final end sequence. I don't think the CGI, I don't have nearly the issue with the CGI that DJ does. Yeah, the design of Abomination is not ideal. It's a little wacky, but I thought that battle sequence was everything I'd want in a Hulk versus another giant creature battle sequence. Him utilizing cars as boxing gloves, and using like chains and the overall like, back and forth between them. You know, I feel like when you have the Hulk, that's kind of like that's what people were clamoring for that they didn't get with the Ang Lee Hulk, and like I think corrected a little bit. I think when it comes to just overall in sense of acting quality and like overall package, you may argue Thor Dark World a little bit better, because you have the interaction between Loki and Thor. Specifically, I'm thinking of where Thor is set to go ask Loki for help, and like that's one of my favorite scenes in all of Marvel, just because it's Tom Hiddleston killing it, as you would expect. Though the villain I think is probably one of the worst in all Marvel movies. And when before he became Abomination, I did like
Tim Roth,
the villain before that. So I'll go Incredible Hulk overall. Even both of them have issues, but I think I just enjoyed the villain of Hulk a little bit more. More so, like Malekith, I thought was just generic from beginning to end, or at least there were some, and even got like a link to Super Soldier Serum. I'm just thinking about when I first watched Hulk, and just all those that was brand new. That was something we didn't see, and like all the hope that it gave us for what's to come. So I'll give it a little credit for that, and I'll go with I'll vote for Hulk to lose next round.
All right. As for me, I think it boils down to me for just I guess. At this end, when we're talking about these films that may have some issues, et cetera, what kind of film I just like seeing more from a setting standpoint, an aesthetic standpoint. I think this might be a spoiler alert for some of the future mashups. I don't know, but I like the science fiction aspect of what you get with the Thor movies and the Guardian movies, et cetera. I just kind of like that world better and getting to see more of that world building. And I love Loki as a villain. And as a general character, and I don't know, I have never been somebody that liked anything about Hulk when it came to like comics or the TV shows or the other movies, etc. I do like Hulk in the MCU. I think it's turned me a great deal more in his favor. But like growing up as a kid, like Hulk was never somebody I really cared too much for. But that really has nothing to do with this conversation. I just think my memory too of the Hulk film, like not a lot of that sticks with me at all. Whereas I've seen Thor: The Dark World multiple times for some reason. It's a very thin line, when we were talking about like the score here. Rotten Tomatoes, they're only 1% different according to Rotten Tomatoes. But Metacritic has Incredible Hulk quite a bit, 6 or 7 points ahead of Thor: Dark World. I think for me, it just comes down to the aesthetics, the setting, and Loki that would very slightly push Thor ahead for me. But I think Amanda and I are both more in the Thor camp for all of the Thor movies than a lot of people, so there is some bias there, I think. But all right, so
he's biased because he's got a shirt off.
Well, I mean, you do like your Hemsworth. So Amanda, you were voting for Thor, right?
Yes.
So I would be voting for Thor. Matt and Dan, I sounded like you guys were both going Hulk way, right?
Yeah.
So I'm Hulk.
All right. So DJ, I know you kind of revealed your cards a little bit, but are you casting a tiebreaker for Thor or for Hulk?
I think it's an argument can be made that of all three Thor movies, I'm including Ragnarok, which I love. Thor: The Dark World uses all the characters the best. Sadly, even though the movie, you're right, Malekith is weak, but you don't get that. Thor: The Dark World is the best usage of the Warriors Three and Sif. It's the best usage, and Thor, the hero of the movie, is great throughout. Again, an Incredible Hulk. I mean, and when it's Edward Norton, I'm fine. Every time he transforms, it just completely takes me out of it. And I mean, there are some great Easter eggs. There's Amadeus Cho Easter egg. There's a little Tony Stark. There's a Doc Samson Easter egg. But still, when half of your main character takes me out of the movie, I just can't. Again, everything in Brazil was great. I just wish they had the money and the budget to get the Hulk that we see in Avengers. And that if you put the Hulk that we get to see from Avengers in that movie, I think it's a better movie. It wouldn't take me out. It looks more photorealistic. And I really love what they did with Asgard. I wanted a movie all on Asgard, and they kind of gave it to me. Again, if they would, the biggest weak point of that movie is Malekith. That's about it. But I mean, Loki kind of picks up a lot of his slack, so I'm going to lean toward Thor: The Dark World.
All right, for those of you possibly upset about Thor: The Dark World moving on, don't worry, because that's the last time that we'll talk about either of these films. So the 1-16 matchup here, 16 seed will go then to Thor: The Dark World, and that film will face off immediately against the number one seed in the entire bracket. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know if it's because of how recent it came out, but it is the number one overall right now. That would be Black Panther with a 93 score as a combined score, 97% Rotten Tomatoes, 88% Metacritic. Some of those numbers may have changed in the last few days, so I apologize if someone's like got their website up and like, you're giving the wrong scores. But Black Panther is ranked number one as of the time I did this.
Is that what our listeners sound like? You're giving the wrong scores.
Yes, that is what they sound like. So we'll go back to Amanda. Black Panther or Thor: The Dark World?
Oh, snaps. So hard. Why are you going to do this to me already? yikes.
This will give you a chance to give the listener some thoughts on what you thought about Black Panther, too, since we didn't.
Well, I don't want this report to go 1,000 hours, so I'll keep it brief. I really liked Black Panther. I think that seeing everything on Wakanda was great. We've been waiting for it forever. And I think we got some really honest, cool characters. And the visuals, I think I liked, you know, for the most part, better in Thor. But the stuff that I saw in a majority, Wakanda looked great. And the car chase looked great. But I'm really torn because...
This is showing how much of a Thor fan you are.
Yeah, I really, really love Thor. And now seeing Black Panther, though... I'm a huge fan. I think it was great. And Michael B. Jordan was amazing. So scary. And he had such a right to be a villain. You know what I mean? They did that dude fucking bogus. And I think that the message that they drew out in little pieces here was great. It wasn't anything they were whacking you over the head with. There was a very... the moment... I don't want to spoil it. The moment, is it a sunrise or sunset or something like that in Wakanda that Michael B. Jordan and...
The day you saw, if you will.
Yes, yes. I think what Michael B. Jordan's sentiments there were, you know, and how he put it was amazing and so heartfelt and got me right in the feels. And that's something that Thor didn't do. I didn't have, like, some moment in Thor that I was, like, touched by. So I shiza. I don't like doing this.
There's three Thor movies, so if you're feeling bad, you can vote for one of the other ones later.
Okay, well, I'm going to say Black Panther. Okay. For sure. I got options here with the Thor.
And that's another thing that's going to be interesting in the bracket as far as, you know, the films that have multiple versions of it, you know, with especially like Iron Man, Captain America, Thor that have three apiece, where were they all going to fall in the bracket? But Matt, is this a case where here in the number one and the number 16 seed that we're seeing two of the best villains in the MCU immediately facing off against each other?
Well, I mean... If you're counting Loki as the villain, but like
I'm trying to ignore Malekith. I'm trying to ignore it.
I thought that dude was scary as fuck, you guys. He was creepy looking, and I'm pretty sure he eats babies or something. Like, he just looks terrifying, and he does some crazy
That's
stuff.
Not been proven. Not accurate.
Allegedly. He's eating some Vietnamese babies or something, because he...
I gotta be Vietnamese.
And that weave.
Oddly specific, but okay.
The weave. You're talking about the weave. Okay.
And his eyes.
You're taking
Matt's
time.
I'm sorry, man.
Go for it, Matt.
That's just Christopher Eccleston, though. Like, I don't know how much of that was makeup. I mean,
that's what you just look at on Tuesday.
How many people did we just offend in the last 10 seconds?
I mean,
just
you gotta think.
Babies.
Like, Christopher Eccleston, he played a space alien in Doctor Who without any makeup, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Matt, what are your thoughts on this matchup, though?
Oh, man. I mean, like, the fact that it took Amanda more than about a second and a half to compare these insane.
Like, she's a Thor lobbyist. Get her out of here.
Have you like seen those
3
cuts?
Minutes before, she was like, I don't want this record to go 1,000 hours. Then we had our number 1 in 16 matchup, and she waxed poetic about it.
Like, here's the thing. Like, Loki's great. Chris Hemsworth's great, but like, like that's the worst Thor movie. Like maybe if it was the good one, like I could debate it. But Black Panther was so like chef kiss perfect. Like that movie was so good. Like it's not even a comparison.
Dan?
Ditto. Yeah, I'm gonna go Black Panther.
I'm voting for Black Panther too, and I'll save all comments for when it's more necessary. So, DJ, I apologize, but you're not needed to cast a tiebreaker on this one.
Fine.
Whatever. We'll get your thoughts on Black Panther as we go through this, though. All right, let's move. Let's move down to. Should I go in order, guys, or should I bounce around this side of the bracket? Let's see.
How do they do it on the TV?
On the TV?
On the TV.
Out of the bracket to make it look even.
Television sets.
All right, let's go down to the bottom of the bracket here for our 5 seed against our 12 seed. All right. Mm. So,
Upside City.
So number 5 seed, let's just stick with one character we've already talked about. Number 5 seed with a combined score of 83 is going to be Thor Ragnarok.
Why'd you pick that? We already have some Thor stuff. Now you're making me think about
Thor.
This
is how it all goes, guys. Number 12 seed facing off against Thor Ragnarok will be Captain America, the First Avenger.
Ooh, it's a good matchup here. It's a good matchup.
Dan, we didn't get a lot of thoughts on the Black Panther Thor matchup, so how about you start this one off? Thor Ragnarok against Captain America, the First Avenger.
Man, this is tough. This is legitimately tough.
I like this matchup.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at my rankings, and these are like right next to each other.
Wait, you have rankings?
Don't everybody?
Like my own rankings.
He just did a whole Marvel Cinematic rankings. Pay attention to his letterbox. Come on.
I can't even.
That just made my life. It's not because of this. It's just because I am a loser and I do things like that. Looking at the most underrated of all the MCU films, I think I would rank the First Avenger as that. I love what Joe Johnson did with it. It feels like a classic serial of the time. I love how they incorporated like the Captain America mythos to it, like how he starts out as this like propaganda piece, and that's how he gets his costume. Chris Evans was phenomenal, and there's so many great like character moments with that. Some of the CGI doesn't hold up as much when he's like the regular Steve Scrawny Rogers as it was at the time. I remember seeing it, going back and rewatching it, but I think it's one of the best origins we get out of all those stories. My biggest complaint is probably like it does feel like when it gets into the actual World War II pieces, we don't get enough of it. Like it's a little bit of a montage here and there. Like I feel like we could have spent more time. I know they had to get a lot done, but I just thought the direction that Joe Johnson, very Spielberg-esque. Like he did The Rocketeer, and certainly those elements played a big role. It has a lot of character. A lot of people complain that a lot of Marvel films look a lot alike. But I felt like it was one of the first ones that really had its own style, and especially considering of the time period it was in. You know, Thor Ragnarok, it just recently came out. Again, another one that is very much fitting of the character of Thor. It is, it's got Kirby-esque designs everywhere, and it's certainly a lot of fun, hugely comedic. But I think I'm actually going to go First Avenger because I feel like it's more of a complete movie in the sense of it has comedic bits, it has more human drama. I think Ragnarok's probably more entertaining, more in that sense, but as just looking for the complete package, like the utility team that, like this, try to get Kevin's vote. It's like the Spurs, right? They're not like the most entertaining team to watch, but they got every piece that you need to win. So I'll go with Captain America First Avenger.
Interesting. All right. So one vote for Captain America the First Avenger. Matt, does Jeff Goldblum sway you one way or the other?
Was he in one of these and I forgot?
Ragnarok.
What? You forgot about Goldblum?
Oh, he was the collector. Yeah.
No, he wasn't the collector. That's Benicio del Toro. He was the Grand Master. Or should I say, he was the Grand Master. And...
Man, I can't keep those two straight. They seem like the same character. Like, he's supposed to be Bro. Blue. Yeah, no, oh, man.
Cousins
like, coming. I get that he's, like, the big guy, but, like, he's not the guy in that movie. Like no. That movie was so much more Thor and Hulk and Hela, which is where I focus. And Valkyrie, of course. Like, I'm so worried that I'm got recency bias and all this because I feel like the last couple of Marvel movies that come out are, like, the best. And everything Dan said about Captain America is right. Like, I love that. Like, I'm always talking about that fantasy journey, building a diverse team. Like, that's one of my favorite things to see in a movie. That's a great trope. But, like, I mean, Thor does that, too. Like Korg and Valkyrie. Nah, like, I'm going to go with Thor, and, like, I'm not going to even feel bad.
All right, Amanda, is this where you're going to spread some more Thor love, or are you going to wait for another chance later on?
Oh, man, I have to go with Captain America, the first Avenger.
Well, I told you, Upset City!
I actually just rewatched Winter Soldier, and amazing movie, I'm sure we'll get to it, but it really made me appreciate the first one, too. Is the first one with the Red Skull?
Yes.
With Agent Smith? I mean, he was shit. But I think even back then, his face was super cool and scary. And, I mean, he's just Agent Smith to me. But I think Hydra is something not to fuck with. Like, they've been around. They're still around. And, I mean, no. They break up at what point? Right before... At the end of this. Okay, so how long are they around until this? You know what I mean? They're a force to be reckoned with. Hitler and shit, not cool.
I want a t-shirt that says Hitler and shit, not cool.
So, I'm sorry. It's like a campaign. I can't keep track of. I'm like on a winding trail here, trying to make it through what you're saying.
I tried not to be on in Matt's kind of like he was saying the recency bias because I did have a lot of fun with Thor, but I think a more quality film is Captain America, and it's something that we hadn't gotten at this point. So I really enjoyed it.
It's been a long time since I saw the first Avenger, so I too might be leaning towards some type of recency bias because I have more memories of Thor Ragnarok, obviously, since it was just last year. I did appreciate a lot of what Captain America did, and I like that what they're doing there when they have the superhero kind of injected into real historic events. The same types of things worked very well with Wonder Woman, etc. So I did like Captain America the First Avenger quite a bit, and I think it was also very important for where they were at in the time frame of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I think Chris Evans is perfect as that. And I actually thought Red Skull was really good as a villain. I think sometimes he gets the short end of the stick because everybody always talks about how, you know, all the villains aren't good in the MCU. And I think there's been a lot that have been good for various reasons. But man, Thor Ragnarok was so much fun. I mean, I laughed a ton. I liked all the visuals, especially the Asgard and kind of how they were disassembling the mythos behind that, etc. And I think there was just a lot of cool moments. Again, I love Tom Hiddleston in every single film inside the MCU that he's appeared in. So I'm going to be leaning towards Thor Ragnarok with Matt. So that means, DJ, you are needed.
Oh, you made me choose. I knew this was going to come to me. Damn it. All right, look, I'm looking at my list here. I also made a nerdy list like Dan did. And Thor is ranked higher, but now that Dan brings it up and I think about it, Thor Ragnarok is cotton candy, and Captain America the First Avenger is like a good meal. It's like that meal Tommy Lee Jones is eating when he's questioning Armin Zola. Is this a steak and potatoes really good for you meal? Where, you know, Thor Ragnarok tastes amazing, but like 5 minutes later, your sugar high runs out, and you're kind of like, eh. Stuff sticks with me from Captain America the First Avenger. One, it probably has the greatest love story of any MCU movie that we've gotten. Though Amanda does not like him, I think Red Skull is one of the most underrated villains in all of comic book movies. I mean, it's freaking Hugo Weaving doing a Werner Herzog impersonation for the entire time. Chris Evans,
I just feel like he should be in the G.I. Joe movie. I'm like, isn't this the dude from G.I. Joe?
No, that's Joseph Gordon-Levitt. But I mean, Chris Evans, the level of difficulty, for one, having Chris Evans jump from being the much maligned Human Torch to being a Captain America, and Captain America working in a country other than America, is such a high hurdle to jump. And then you get Bucky, who I didn't give a shit about as a comic fan of the comic books, and now Sebastian Stan is like Mr. Hot Guy. It's like Chris Hemsworth, and then Bucky everywhere. I can't get away from him. He's everywhere. So just so much good stuff in Captain America, and there's a lot of it is before he becomes Captain America. The hand grenade scene with Tommy Lee Jones. Oh, yeah, by the way, Tommy Lee effing Jones is in this movie with Stanley Tucci. What's his name? From Lord of the Rings, the main dwarf. I forget his name. Armitage? I can't remember. He's the assassin. There's so many freaking great things going on in this movie. And I knew this was going to be an episode. I said, please don't let Captain America vs. Avenger go against something that's recent, because people are going to get pissed. Because Joe Johnston invented Boba Fett. I got to go with Captain America vs. Avenger. I got to do it. I have to do it.
All right. That means we have our first upset of the tournament, with the number 12 seed advancing over the number 5 seed, Thor Ragnarok. And they will be Captain America will be facing off against the winner of this next matchup, the 4 and 13 seed. See if we have an upset here or not. Number 13 seed would be none other than Iron Man 3. Which is a combined score of 71. Mm-hmm. Iron Man 3 will be facing off against, as fate has it, Captain America Civil War. Captain America Civil War would be the 4 seed at an 83 combined score. So the winner faces Captain America vs. Avenger. Are we going to have a Captain America versus Captain America, or is Iron Man 3 going to get in the way of that? Matt, let's start with you. What do you think about Civil War versus Iron Man 3?
Oh man, these two shouldn't be against each other. Like, why is why is Iron Man 3 so low? Like,
I could give you 28 reasons why, but continue.
Oh, a good 22 of those would be wrong too.
Those are very specific numbers by both of you.
Oddly specific. Once again,
there's more or less.
Like, I think these are my two favorite from their respective lines, like, for sure. Like, I really liked Iron Man 3, and I didn't know that was a controversial opinion, but like, Captain America 3's might be the best Avengers movie there is.
For the record, the gap between the Rotten Tomato scores is 66 to 97, so none of them are really ranked too low. I mean, Iron Man 3 has an 80%, so it wasn't a bad one, but there's just a lot that are ranked higher than it.
Man, still, they're both great movies, and I would normally go for Iron Man 3, because I think, in my opinion, it's probably the top 5, but like, Cap 3 is top 2, top 3 territory. So like, that one, like, just hands down, like, the way they brought everything in, they had Spider-Man. No one thought Spider-Man was gonna happen. Like, even Ant-Man, who had, like, one of the smallest stories, pun unintended, like, ended up making his way into this massive, giant superhero fight. And, that brought in Black Panther, which we just talked about being amazing.
Yeah. So your vote's for Civil War?
Oh, undoubtedly.
Dan, do you agree or disagree?
I agree. Like, I like Iron Man 3 as well. Like, it, I know people hate the Mandarin twist. For me, it was the first time that character was interesting in his history of being a character. And I love, like, what Shane Black did in getting, you know, utilizing, like, his style and basically making it a buddy cop, and, like, getting Tony Stark to be a character outside of the armor and some of the innovations they had to do. So I really enjoy Iron Man 3. I do think it's, like, last... like, its overall main villain, like, I can't think of his name. The guy who plays the...
Aldrich Killian.
Yeah, he's overall a little weak. Stronger than some of the other Marvel villains, but he's Guy Pearce's performance is a little... I love Guy Pearce, but he's a little over the place in that. But yeah, it's a little unfair in a way, though, because it's basically an Avengers movie going against the third Iron Man film. But yeah, like, I think whatever disappointment I may have even gotten from other Avengers movies, we'll probably talk about soon.
Their grosses are close, too, by the way. I think Iron Man 3 made $1 billion, and so did Civil War.
Yeah, but yeah, Civil War was just everything I wanted it to be and more. It probably proved upon the story it was based on, the comic book story, just the relationships and what it did. It had, again, a lot of great characters moments. It brought in all these different pieces. It had a lot of things, a lot of moving pieces, and it all worked. And even though you had all these different characters that were a part of it, it still felt like Cap's story. It obviously there's other people that took part of it, but I think ultimately at the soul, it was, because he was the one having to make this decision. So yeah, Civil War is up there near the top for me. So I think it's possibly a favorite to go all the way. So I'm going Civil War.
I think the other thing, too, another underrated villain that doesn't get enough credit, and I think, too, what Civil War does well is it adds another unique twist, obviously, with the two guys butting heads more than just a simple argument within a film, but making it kind of the crux of the whole storyline here. It makes for an interesting dynamic where you kind of have people choosing sides, et cetera, so I thought that added a new twist to something we hadn't seen before. I do like you, Dan, I'd like Iron Man 3 better than a lot of people do. I like the way they did the Mandarin thing, so that didn't bother me at all. So I think Iron Man 3 is deserving of a higher ranking than it probably got, but as luck would have it, where how I'm ranking this stuff, it ends up in the 13 seed going against Civil War, and that's kind of unfair. So my vote would be Civil War as well. Amanda, what do you think?
Oh, hands down, Civil War. I do really appreciate when they kind of bring Tony Stark down to more of a human level, him out of the suit, like Dan said, and kind of humble him for a little bit, bring him back to say, hey, this is just the suit. Who are you? Are you Iron Man? And I really appreciated all that. But Civil War, there's just so much in here to love. And more Bucky, of course. So
see,
he is so badass. I just watched this too. Yeah. I've been sick, so I've been watching a lot of movies like this, rewatching, and it just such super cool scenes with Bucky fighting, like the things that he's able to do, and him facing off Black Panther and like getting. Hit that little preview of him, little preview of Spider-Man, some really awesome stuff.
All right, DJ, did we get it right with the unanimous vote for Civil War?
Did you get it right? Are you out of your mind? Iron Man 3. Iron Man 3. You know what? I won't take up too much of your time. Never mind. I'll keep it to myself. I could go on for hours about how Iron Man 3 is the Last Jedi of the MCU, where it's a great film, but it's not an Iron Man movie. Just like Last Jedi is a great movie, it's not a Star Wars movie.
We're going to have a whole spin-off episode with Matt and DJ going against, talking about both of those films and their franchises.
It's fine. I mean, some people just love everything to be completely different than everything else all the time. But then you got to remember, you're essentially taking your hand and you're making a fist and you're raising your middle finger to the people who actually love Iron Man. So it's like, okay, I want it to be different. And I don't care about you're loving the Mandarin. And the problem with the Mandarin twist wasn't the fact that they did the twist. It was the fact that they actually got the Mandarin to work for the first half of the movie. I was like, holy shit, the Mandarin actually works. Oh, he doesn't exist. He's fucking Guy Pearce. All right. So I just kind of just luck.
I don't know. Well, as someone who is an Iron Man fan, it's been an Iron Man fan for, 20 years. I didn't take it as a middle finger. I took it as, hey, we realize this is a problematic character. In order for a twist to work, you have to not expect it. So it worked.
Just watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. It's the same effing movie. It's literally the same movie. It's a better movie, actually. Watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
All right, so guys, listeners, fans, if you want a spinoff episode with these guys going toe-to-toe, Iron Man 3 and Last Jedi talk, we can make that happen. All right, let's move on, though. Civil War advances. Just so you guys know, that means he's facing off against the first Avenger next round. let's go up to the other part of the bracket to see who's going to go against the Black Panther, and that would be our number 8 and our number 9 seed matchup. Number 8 seed, that would be Doctor Strange with an 81 combined score. Number 9 seed, only one seed different. I guess we're going a lot of the same places here. Number 9 seed is Captain America, the Winter Soldier, because an 80 combined score. So Doctor Strange, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Dan, start with you. I know where this is going, but we'll go to you anyway.
Did I mention Captain America is my favorite superhero?
So does it pain you that all three of the Captain America films are on this side of the bracket?
So I first want to know, why is it only an 80 score? Like, yes, that should be...
Its Metacritic score is 70.
Not only is Captain America my favorite superhero, but Winter Soldier storyline is probably in my like top five favorite runs, like what Ed Brubaker did. The movie's much different. It has elements from it, like, but overall it's a much different story. Just not like it goes in different directions with different things. But to me, Winter Soldier was like, we'll talk about it more, but to me it upped the game for Marvel films. The Russo brothers came in and like immediately they became like new contenders from the first scene when he's on the boat and they made the world fall in love with Captain America even more so than versus Avenger. I think for a lot of people they like Cap, they enjoyed the first film, but I think this made him into a badass. So it's an easy. I like Doctor Strange well enough, but it doesn't hold a candle to Winter Soldier.
The Rotten Tomatoes Metacritic might have told me that this is an 8-9 matchup, but in my mind, this is like a might as well be a 16-1 because the Winter Soldier demolishes Doctor Strange in almost every way, shape, and form. Like, this is not close. An 8-9 seed matchup should be more. More stuff should be up for debate and discussion, but I vote for Captain America: The Winter Soldier. Amanda, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Cool stuff happens, but he's Doctor Strange, Stephen Strange, you're a little whiny bitch. He kind of irritates me in the beginning when he's all, you know, self-loathing and shit. We just get so much amazing, cool action and storyline from Winter Soldier. It's no competition here.
Matt, do you agree with us, or are you going to throw some love to Doctor Strange way?
Throw some shade? Yeah, Matt.
Throw some shade.
I like Kevin trying to keep it positive, huh? I think this is a lot closer than everyone else is giving it credit. Like, ooh. Like you mentioned the two of them, and I like immediately was like, oh, I don't like that. Because Captain America 2, I think, so I've said a million times, if you're actually listening to this podcast, you know my opinion that the second one in any MCU movie is weaker than the first and the third is better than both of those. But I think in the Captain America one, the first and second are the two closest of any of those pairs. I think that second one is way stronger and held up way better than Iron Man 2 or Thor 2 by like just leaps and bounds.
Yep.
Like and things like Falcon, they did the Falcon and they didn't do him cheesy and they made him really interesting, and he might have even been the best part of that movie, which had a bunch of great parts to it.
But Bucky.
That hair, like, son, that hair.
Yeah. Them scary eyes.
Are we talking about physical attraction or character?
But he's a badass too. I mean.
And he's very, very attractive. And he has, you know, he's a badass.
That sexy ass metal arm. I mean, come on.
I'm not into that cold arm. Like, he gives you a hug and like I get goosebumps on one side, not down for it.
He's making good points there. He's making good points.
For the record, Doctor Strange, the higher seed. Doctor Strange, the higher Rotten Tomatoes score. Doctor Strange, the higher Metacritic score.
Over Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Correct. Correct. Matt, I didn't get to give you a chance to say where you're actually going with this. Finish your thought.
Hey, you haven't cast your vote. It doesn't matter, but we need to get it on paper so we can continue. I think that they both added a bunch of amazing things to the MCU, right? Like, seeing Doctor Strange pop up in more and more movies is going to be great, and you couldn't do it without this. I think his movie was so incredibly necessary. But I'm just going to abstain because you don't need my vote, because this is a real close one for me.
DJ, are we right or wrong?
The one thing I would say...
Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, sorry. I say the one thing for Doctor Strange, I do think it has one of the best endings of all any Marvel film.
Yes.
Because it's not like it's not a gigantic battle. It utilizes the character in Doctor Strange in a unique way. It shows how he's different than some of the other Marvel heroes.
Get out of my head, Clark. I was thinking this. It was the first time everybody Marvel gets. Oh, the villains are horrible, and the ending. The movies are all the same. There's no ending in any MCU movie like how Doctor Strange deals with Dormammu. It's like, and once you know what's happening, you're like, Oh, that's pretty clever. And you didn't see it coming. Most of these, you know, the stereotypes of these Marvel movies are they all have the same cliched ending. The villain fights or the hero fights the villain version of himself. But Dormammu is nothing like Doctor Strange, even though he's played by the same actor. But and the way he handles them is literally through self-sacrifice. I just thought that was really, really interesting. Doctor Strange has one of the best casts of any MCU movie. Tilda Swinton is... I can watch Tilda Swinton read the phone book. He's awesome. Chiwetel Ejiofor, of course, he's awesome. They didn't really utilize Mads Mikkelsen. Doctor Strange has amazing set pieces. But again, it's going against the Winter Soldier, which I'm going to save my thoughts on. It's you're fighting Hercules here, man.
All right, so that means Captain America moves on. 3-for-3 with Captain America?
Is that what sounds like it?
With one of Steve.
All right, so that means the next matchup right there is the number 1 seed against the number 9 seed, Black Panther. Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Let's stick with it. This is getting a little tough, guys.
Wow. Wait, are you jumping around? Because this seems like...
We're doing one side and then the one side next week.
Good. This is tough.
Yeah, so we're into the next round here to try to the semifinal on this side of the bracket, I guess. But Black Panther and Winter Soldier, I think a lot of people would put those two in the top, at least the top 4. So they're facing off right now with a chance to move on, I guess. But this is tough. Winter Soldier, Black Panther. Matt, let's go right to you to start this one off. How do you try to break this one down, or is this too tough to call?
Well, it's really easy because we were talking about how attractive Sebastian Stan is, and he's got nothing on – he doesn't have anything on T'Challa. He doesn't have anything on M'Baku. Like, if we're going just on sheer beauty, I think Black Panther wins this one, like way.
Claw is attractive.
Let's not go that far. There's a reason he doesn't do a lot of on-screen. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, so making sure that Christopher Eccleston and
Circus.
Can't think of his name.
Andy Circus,
don't listen to this, because, man, we are really going after the Brits. No one's saying
Vietnamese babies. Don't let Vietnamese babies listen.
Yeah,
to
don't
this
let them, because this is just not appropriate for Vietnamese babies.
I
We're
said
gonna
you're
learn the truth.
Andy, Circus, I said you're attractive. They shot me down. I'm sorry.
With the green dots on you.
I broke it, guys. I wasn't a huge fan of Winter Soldier. I'm not saying it's bad. It doesn't rate high for me. And Black Panther, like I said, was chef kiss is all I need to say about that movie. I think that was that one. Maybe it was Thor 3. They're both great.
So vote for Black Panther from Matt. Amanda was saying under her breath, what's wrong with you? In a different voice. So Amanda, what do you think?
What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Oh, I don't need to say this, but Winter Soldier, all the way for me. The action is superb. The haircuts are superb.
Yeah, haircuts are pretty dope.
If we were going to go on soundtrack, I would definitely pick Black Panther.
Yeah, I can score. Oh, yeah. Really? Oh, wow.
The soundtrack. And I think that we get a lot more like mystical, magical, cool CG looking stuff in Wakanda, which was dope. It was like almost like a live action like Lion King if Simba and when Simba and Mufasa are talking in the clouds, like that's what it felt like to me. But everything that I want out of a movie ever, I got out of Winter Soldier.
So that is split right now: 1 for Black Panther, 1 for Winter Soldier. Dan, go to you next. Try to sway me one way or the other, too, because I am undecided.
This is really hard. I didn't think we'd get to this already. It's tough, but I'm looking at like what does what better, and where are the where are the strengths and weaknesses of both? Like, obviously people talk about Black Panther having a great villain, and it does, but I think for Winter Soldier it also has a good villain, and I think Winter Soldier as a villain is, he's very different. Obviously he's not a sympathetic villain. He kind of is, because he's a person that's not controlling his own actions in a way, but he works as almost like a Terminator esque type of character where he's just he's unstoppable. He's, you know, he's got a great introduction where like you see him blow up Nick Fury and he's just like stepped out of the way of the car, you know, blowing up. And so I think like the villain isn't as big of a, you know, in most movies Black Panther would have far and above an advantage there. Not so much with this comparison. Again, both have really strong cast. I think Black Panther probably has the advantage there overall because just more characters feel like they develop. But Winter Soldier, you know, I think this is really where Scarlett Johansson, I think, took the Black Widow character to a new level. Her relationship with Steve Rogers and, you know, Falcon coming in, as we mentioned, he ended up being a really great character. This also had the huge Hydra twist that a lot of people didn't see coming and has had huge ramifications for all of the MCU moving forward. And ultimately, like, I think the biggest advantage that it has over the Black Panther is the fact that its action is just, to me, much more visceral and exciting from, like, the opening boat sequence that, like, it's Captain America jumping out of a plane without a parachute. Him taking out like the helicarrier with just a shield, and the fight in the elevator sequence. Just like each fight sequence, I thought was really effective and really good. Black Panther has the casino sequence. The other ones are okay. I don't think they ever reach the level or the consistency of Winter Soldier. So, in a pure entertainment standpoint, Winter Soldier has my vote. I mean, I think Black Panther certainly has thematically more weight to it. It's probably, you know, a much more meaningful film. So that's where I think the two, it's really hard to determine which one's more important. But I think ultimately, like, what one do I enjoy more? If I was going to go to a theater and they had an opportunity, not ignoring the fact that I've seen Winter Soldier like 15,000 times and only Black Panther once, I probably would see Winter Soldier, but it's really hard to choose. But I'll go Winter Soldier. I think they're not really, really great about it.
I think you make good points about the action. I think the action is superior in the Winter Soldier, the action sequences, fight sequences, et cetera. I think they're just easier to follow. They're better choreographed and from a visual standpoint, better. Black Panther is so important for so many other reasons, you know, not as surface level, maybe. It's so tough. I do agree with you. I think the cast is better and overall maybe in Black Panther. But see, the reason we bring a guest on like this, tiebreaker vote is so I can not vote.
Black Panther. Still let me pick against my own black solo.
So I'll vote for Black Panther and make DJ decide.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
You know what you're getting yourself into.
He knows what he's doing now. All right, look, all right. In a personal level, all right, look, I got my list here. I'm going to go by my list, all right? And I think Dan and you out there, you hit it pretty much on the head. The importance of Black Panther is amazing, but the way Ryan Coogler, who, again, coming off of Creed, knew how to shoot action in Creed really well, I think mainly because of – it's almost like the Christopher Nolan Batman Begins thing. He has the camera too close. And not until I think the next movie he will learn to pull the camera back, on where the Russos, I guess, trusted their stunt choreographer to do that, pull the camera back so we can take in the action. And I think I was on this show years ago talking about we might not have been this exact show, but it was on the Geekcast Radio Network talking about action sequences. And you can follow my Twitter handle when Winter Soldier came out. That knife flip that Winter Soldier does to me is the great. That might be the greatest action scene in comic book movie history. It's up there with Spider-Man 2 on the train. I will watch that street fight between Winter Soldier and Captain America forever. It is awesome. I'll watch it. I'm gonna do after this show. I'm gonna watch it again because it's so effing good, and it's telling a story. Because at the end, it stops because of who the hell is Bucky. It's like, oh my god, we knew it's Bucky, but even that moment, Chris Evans sells it. So there's so much stuff going on that's great in that movie. We haven't even talked about Robert Redford, who essentially is another underrated villain who probably should have been the Red Skull because he is in the comic books. But it's just so good. Black Panther, in terms of importance, in terms of making a dent and being a phenomenon, sure. But I think in terms of ramifications, the Hydra twist, a twist done right, Mandarin, by the way, I think is just a better film. Just not by a lot. It's just a better film from beginning to end.
That when the Winter Soldier grabs that motorcycle with his sexy metal arm. That's like that was real to me. I was like, this happened in real life. Like he really Civil did War. That. I believe
you're
it.
You're mixing it up. That's Civil War.
What?
That's in Civil War.
I can't keep this straight. It's just Bucky. It's so much
too
Bucky.
Much Captain America on this side of the bracket.
Did you watch a Bucky only movie by any chance?
I did. It was all just Bucky.
Is there a special feature on one of them that just has all the Bucky sequences put together?
I just watched Civil War and Winter Soldier like back to back.
That was
and there's so much Bucky. It was on TNT or something. I couldn't help it. It was on. I had to watch it.
So wait a second. Am I getting this right here? Because Black Panther, 8 points higher on Rotten Tomatoes, 18 points higher on Metacritic. The number one seed. Are we eliminating the number one seed right here? Is that what
I wouldn't have put Black Panther number one seed.
So Captain America, the Winter Soldier, the number nine seed somehow, is upsetting both the number eight seed and the number one seed. Which means that Winter Soldier will go against the winner of this matchup.
Boy, another fucking hard
get it right.
It's getting weird here. I can't hardly keep track of this. We have number four seed Captain America Civil War going against First Avenger beat Thor Ragnarok, right?
Yes.
Going against Captain America the First Avenger.
Are you okay. writing this down?
No, I'm not writing anything down. I'm trying to go by my head here, and it's not helping.
What are you doing? That's a terrible idea.
Get your shit together,
So
Kevin.
Civil War against the First Avenger. Hopefully I got that right. That means we have three movies left on this side, and they're all
Captain America's really good, guys.
Jesus. Dan, help me out here. Civil War, First Avenger, who's the better film?
First Avenger was a great origin, but I think, like we said, you know, it should be called Captain. It's really Avengers Civil War.
Right.
It's a tough, you know, it's a tough act to go up against. It's like a, you know, it's playing one-on-one, but the other team is five players. And you're gonna get crushed. So I love again. I feel like my personal bias is bleeding into this episode a little too much. But I'm gonna go Civil War. It's just it helps though that you know where the MCU was. You know Captain America's their third, fourth movie. So they're still kind of figuring things out. But Civil War, they're down path. They know what they're doing. You know this is a you know they have directors coming back to the same character for knowing where they're moving. So I'm going Civil War. It's pretty easy for me in this one.
Civil War was the highest seeded team, I guess, in this quadrant of the bracket at the number four seed going against First Avenger, which is the 12 seed. Amanda, do you agree that this one's easy? Civil War, the four seed is deserving.
Yeah, definitely Civil War.
All right, Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, like it's not even close.
All right, so we were loving First Avenger when it came to Thor Ragnarok, and now we're obviously going the Civil War route.
Who's this we?
So, Civil War unanimous. DJ, did we get it right?
Yeah. I'm going to save my Civil War thoughts until later.
Until probably about right now, because that would mean the semifinal on this side of the bracket, I guess the final four matchup, if you will, is Captain America Civil War versus Captain America the Winter Soldier. So Captain America Civil War already took out the First Avenger. Can it also take out the Winter Soldier? That's the question. 9 seed against 4 seed. Amanda, Winter Soldier or Civil War? You just said you watched them both. I know you can't keep them straight. You don't know which one's
it's
which.
It's all one movie right now. It is one movie.
Which one's Black Panther in, Amanda? Tell us.
They're both.
Civil War.
Okay.
You got to think of it like this. Like, are Bucky and Cap friends?
Or enemies? Which or one?
Enemies. That's the difference.
Oh. Well, let's let Amanda sort this out a little bit. Let's go to you, Matt, since you have it sorted out. Winter Soldier or Civil War? Which one do you think?
Oh, like Civil War was so good. Like I said, it goes first, or it goes third, first, second, and this like is very true. A second versus a third, even a close one like this is still gonna go to the Civil War. Like I loved the Cap Bucky like team up, like coming back to each other, like this, like that bromance is always a thing I'm gonna be down with. Like so we haven't even talked about that aspect. We've been talking about how it's an Avengers movie, but like the parts that aren't the Avengers movie are also stellar.
Yeah, I agree with that. Is this going to be the classic case where you have like the big upset and then it's like the hungover next game where the Winter Soldier takes out Black Panther but now cannot take out Civil War?
Winter Soldier should be in a different bracket than these.
Dan, how do we make heads or tails of this Civil War or this Captain America chaos?
I'll vote for Captain America.
Yeah! Cap wins!
well, a good chance of Captain America being represented in the finals, guys.
Yeah. This is legitimately like my one and two when it comes to the rankings of these movies, and it's tough because they build off so much. They're basically they're telling us, well, it's Marvel, so they're all telling the same story, but these two specifically more so, I think, than any of the other films are so much tied to one another. I think I'm going to go Winter Soldier, because I feel like there's an intimacy within that, that because I think Civil War is more of a spectacle, not in a way, but I just like the way that Winter Soldier plays out. I think it possibly maybe because Civil War had higher expectations, but I ended up being just amazed with what they did with Winter Soldier. Again, talking about some of the twists that they were able to put into it. I thought the action set pieces were more consistent, and I liked the villain more than I thought. You know, Daniel Bruhl did an okay job, but I felt like there was a lot more contrivances in what he was able to do in order to make sure everyone was at the right spot in order to do like get make his plan work. Where I didn't feel like that happened. These are two great movies. It's really, you know, hard to really nitpick either one of them, but I'll go Winter Soldier.
All right, so that's one vote for Winter Soldier, one vote for Civil War. Amanda, Civil War is the one with all the Avengers, and Winter Soldier is the one with just Cap and Bucky mainly.
So Black Panther is only in Civil War. Okay, so my thing is I really like everybody coming together. I thought that this final, or not final, you know, when they finally all get together here and then they're taking sides, they're showing the sides, butting heads, some really cool stuff goes down. But I just think I was really blown away by what I got out of Winter Soldier. And I liked the dynamic of Cap versus Winter Soldier. I think there's some really, really awesome moments between them when they're pitted against each other.
So Kevin's gonna do it again, isn't he?
This is ridiculous.
I thought she was gonna say Civil War, in which case I was gonna do an easy throw into Winter Soldier and make DJ pick again, but now I gotta think a little bit harder. I'm just the host, though. I'm not supposed to give opinions. I'm supposed to let you guys all talk. No, I'm like the bracketeer. I'm the announcer. I'm not supposed to get involved. Civil War, I agree. I do like the faction idea. I think anytime there's factions like spinning off or separating, that intrigues the crap out of me. That's it's just a cool aspect of any type of situation, especially when we've seen them all be on the same side up to this point. And you can kind of see where both sides are coming from, so it's kind of interesting to see which character would go which direction for what reason. So I think all of that's good. I think Dan makes a good point about the villain and the kind of the overall story, though, for Winter Soldier and kind of how that goes back and forth. I think it's very similar to what we were talking about when we were talking about Thor Ragnarok and Captain America the First Avenger, because maybe one of them was more of a complete movie story type thing, and the other one's like DJ, this, you know, the meal versus cotton candy type thing. I think if you were doing that in this scenario, Civil War would have to take the role of the cotton candy, and Winter Soldier would have to take the role of the meal. But like Dan also said, these are two phenomenal movies, so let's not throw shade either way. How do I have to vote to make it to go to DJ?
Stop it! Leave me alone.
Civil War. Okay, you go Civil War, goes to DJ.
I'll vote for Civil War. DJ, you're up.
Son of a bitch! What the fuck?
I just want to give you a feeling that you mean something towards this, that you're important.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. The hate mail comes toward me. Fine. www.kissmyass.com. All right, look. Dan will probably know this. The first comic book I ever bought for myself, ever, as a child, was Punisher War Journal number 15, and on the cover of that was Punisher, and behind him, clinging to a wall, was this guy named Spider-Man, and ever since then, Spider-Man has been my favorite superhero of all time, and Tobey Maguire did a great job with Spider-Man, or Peter Parker mostly, and Andrew Garfield did a great job at Spider-Man, but not Peter Parker. This was the first time I have seen a live-action Spider-Man, from Peter Parker to Spider-Man. And I was against Tom Holland being Spider-Man. I wanted Asa Butterfield. I was like, give it to him because he just looks like Peter Parker. I was so down on Tom Holland, down. And then the moment it says Queens, and I see Tony Stark, Peter walking up the thing, and he's talking about me. I'm like, that's my childhood, walking around, talking. There's Aunt May. There's Iron Man having a conversation with Peter Parker, and him saying with great power, great responsibility, in a way where he doesn't have to say it so hipsters say, it's so lame. He says it in the same way where it's actually cool, and you get it. And it's great. And that's just effing Spider-Man in the movie. I'm not talking about Black Panther, who's effing amazing. Chadwick Boseman's awesome in everything he does. I'm not talking about how great Cap is. I'm not talking about how I'm Team Iron Man, even though I love Captain America in that situation. I'm not talking about how the freaking people who directed John Wick did the action sequence, not since Avengers, the first one, where I took my sister, who does not like comic movies or anything like that. I took her to see Avengers, the first one, and in the middle of the action sequence at the end, she turns to me in the middle and goes, "This is so cool." Not since that movie has she done that until Civil War during the airport sequence. That airport sequence is effing amazing. And for the fact that the Russos had all of these characters and everybody gets a moment, including Matt said it, including effing Ant-Man, who essentially is like, "I'm shaking your hand too hard. Oh, I know you too. You're great." Everybody has a moment in that movie. It is so good. From beginning to end, I have to go Civil War. And I love Winter Soldier. I love it. But there's things that I thought I would never, ever see in human history that's in Civil War. So I got to go Civil War.
All right. So that means the number four seed on this side of the bracket will represent that side in the finale. Taking out, let's see, we saw the number one fall, number five, Thor Ragnarok fell, and obviously the Winter Soldier at number nine seed we all thought should be ranked a little bit higher. But Captain America 3... representations on that side, one of which will end up in the finale with Captain America Civil War. Dan, quick preview or thoughts. You know which films have not been talked about yet, so what are your early thoughts, not knowing who's going against who for the other side of the bracket?
I can't wait till we finally get to Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, God. And the whole show was
all positive up until that point. Dan.
Wait, sorry, no. I'm excited because, like, there's a lot of, we got to – this was Captain – apparently we were in the Captain America section of the bracket. So we'll maybe get into more of the Guardians and Avengers side next week.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Matt, what are your thoughts? Obviously, you know, too, like I said, there's a lot of Avengers films, a lot of Guardians films, some Iron Man films that we have not talked about, DJ Spider-Man. So what are you thinking? Is Civil War a good bet, or odds-on favorite, or is there a competitor amongst that other group?
I mean, well, wait, are we having the Avengers movies be in here? Because, like, those are so high. Like, like, oh, yeah, you're talking Iron Man. Like, Iron Man 1's not going to hold anything to the Avengers.
Well,
like, one of the
see.
Greatest cinematic achievements ever.
These are facts.
It's going to be interesting to see how the seeding goes, because it's going to make for some interesting matchups for sure, and an interesting path to try to get to the finale here. It's not going to be easy for anybody. Amanda, what are your thoughts on the Civil War being one of the two finalists here?
I feel good about it. I think that everything everybody said so far about it, it rings totally true, and it's deserving.
So, DJ, will we get a true Civil War with Captain America going against Iron Man in the finale? Will we get Avengers Civil War versus Avengers? What do you think? Is Guardians a dark horse? What do you think?
In the immortal words of Simon Gruber, not a chance. There's no way Avengers is not coming out of here. The only thing I can think that could upset it is if I get a tiebreaker and somebody has it split between something and Homecoming. Because if that happens, then maybe we'll get a little upset. But yeah, you're right. I think that the seeding is going to – because I think Thor, right? Honestly, Winter Soldier should have been in this other bracket. And maybe Spider-Man should have been in this bracket, because I think there's one or two movies that are going to run away with it in next bracket.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see, and you guys will have to wait and see until next episode, because we're only doing this half of the bracket. We're going to give you guys a week to think about it, to pine over things, to start, you know, your drives and your petitions for the next half of the bracket, and you'll have to let us know
Bucky for president.
What you're
Bucky.
Thinking about that. We apologize to all of the Vietnamese babies, and to...
they got no rights.
Chris Eccleston, I'm sorry. Andy Serkis, you're a handsome son of a bitch.
Yes, all of them. We'll see who we can offend. And next week, DJ, thank you so much for coming on and in very short notice. How can people listen to more of your voice?
If you want, you go to Trying to Be DJV. That's my Twitter handle. Or you can go to our show, The Simplistic Reviews Podcast, on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the Dark Web. We're on there
too. If you want somewhere to start with The Simplistic Reviews, I just recommend starting with episode 100.
Yeah, it's our 100 because somebody on this show other than me was on there, so he's just promoting himself.
Yeah,
just a self-promoter.
And then just work your way backward. I think we suggested that on the episode.
So. How does one get to the Dark Web?
There you go.
How can I get there?
I'll tell you after the show.
That's another episode. That's bonus content somewhere along the way. Dan, if people want to get in touch with you and pick more of your Captain America brain, how would they get a hold of you?
They can follow me at Movie Revolt. Also, check out the Comic Concierge podcast. We'll all talk about Captain America on occasion. It may happen.
Dan, do you want to give just a couple quick seconds on that new project that you're working on and give people a better idea of what that is?
Yeah, so the Comic Concierge podcast comes out on Mondays and Thursdays at 12. On Mondays, I run down the previous week's comics, some of the key notable issues, do my recommendation of the week, which is what I think is like the best jumping on point from the week prior. On Thursdays, I bring on someone like Kevin Optimus Solo, talk about someone who's either never really read comics before, or someone who has to recommend them a book based upon their interests. I've talked to J.D. Duran from Incession Film on we did Royal City, a Jeff Lemire series, and so that's been going on. So check that out. A lot of comic talk. It's been a lot of fun so far.
Absolutely. Check that out for sure. Amanda, how can people reach you on Twitter?
You can find me at Hard Candy Mandy Eyes No Lies. I'm everywhere, but not the Dark Web.
You were just also on another episode of another show. I don't know if it's been aired yet, so people can keep their eyes peeled for what?
I will be on an episode of the Grand Gesture podcast.
Coming out next month?
Coming out in April, for sure, yeah.
All right, so you can listen to her talk with some other folks as well. Matt, how can people get a hold of you on Twitter?
I'm Matt Fridley's son.
Who's eating Cheetos?
I'm not eating Cheetos. My hands are clean.
And so at Fridley Sent for Matt, if you want to get in touch with me, it's at Optimus Solo. If you want to tweet to the whole show, that would be at Cinema Geek Cast. So wait a second. I was on the most recent episode of Comic Concierge. I was on the episode 100 for Simple Tweeters. I'm just making the rounds. I'm
like, you're a whore.
Right now.
You're
a whore. That's why I'm trying not to talk. I'm just letting BJ do all the voting.
Who am I marrying?
So that's it for this week. Guys, tune in next week for the other side of the bracket to see who will face off against Captain America Civil War in the grand finale.
I tried a couple different ways and I ended up just punching my laptop a bunch. I'm still working on it.
I'll pull it up on my computer, Dan. No problem.
I think I tried two different
things. Her laptop's dying, so I don't think it has anything to do with the mode. It's just her.
It likes to just, like, lock control. And I just start slamming it. Like, I just start,
that doesn't
like,
help it.
Smacking it.
Violence and technology is not good bedfellows.
And I'm a technician. Like, I should be used to this. But no, I'm just like, I've had enough of you. And I just start pounding it. So I got to this thing where it was like, you can open this and type in your, you know, username. Make a username. And I was like, okay, cool. Username. And it wouldn't let me type. So I just, like, punched it a bunch of times and shut it. So I'm working on it. I did accept it, though, I think. I saw it was there. I tried. And I'll get to it.